Well, good morning to you, each one. We have another beautiful day, don't we? God has been good to all of us. I trust this morning that each one of you that are here today are encouraged in the Lord. Because we have much to hope in. There's a lot of things in life that can get us down, and I'm acquainted with some of that. I know a little bit about that. But I also know that the verse says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I have found that to be true. I'd like to conclude this meeting with the verse that we referred to earlier, a night or two ago, in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And we'll read just a few verses, chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, we live in an age where it seems like we are encouraged. Well, it doesn't seem like it. We are. We are encouraged to live like and live for what makes you happy. That's the age that we live in, isn't it? It's a pretty self-focused generation. I don't know if it is so unlike previous generations, but from that standpoint, the heart of men, I don't know how much has totally changed, but I do believe that the spirits of the enemy have been let loose in a pretty great way. And there is so much today that we have access to. There's so much today to consume our time.
Yes, there is.
There's so much to give ourselves to. So many things that I believe rob God of His rightful place when we allow that to happen. And further, it seems like today that we are encouraged to believe what you want to believe. Right? Believe what feels right to you. And yet, on the other hand, there's a multi-billion dollar industry out there. The same-minded people who would like to tell you to believe and do whatever makes you happy, it's the same spirit and some of the same people that spend billions of dollars to try to influence you, to make you think that you want what they have to offer. Right?
Yes.
On the one hand, they say, you get what makes you happy. You do what satisfies you. And then, sometimes subtly and deceitfully, really it is, marketing, there's a lot in marketing that is more than what meets the eyes when you look into it. But it attempts to move you in ways that you don't recognize you're being moved. And there's an effort out there to try to make you think that this is the kind of car that I'd like to drive.
Yes.
There's an effort to try to make you think that they know what clothes you want to wear and cause you to think this is what I want to wear, when yesterday you didn't even have the thought that crossed your mind that that's what it was that you wanted to wear. They want to make you think that you want to eat pizza tonight. On the one hand, they say you do whatever makes you happy. And then they go to great lengths to try to tell you what it is that you want. Do you follow on that?
That's true, yeah.
Look, fads and fashions don't change by the masses overnight.
No.
That's not usually how it works. Some time ago I said, one day the masses don't think that narrow sunglasses are in, And then the multitudes the next morning get up and it's the big sunglasses and we wouldn't even think about wearing the narrow glasses. Where'd that come from? One day curly hair's in and straight hair's out. And then vice versa. Shag carpet's in one year and then it's Berber carpet the next and you wouldn't think about having that old ugly shag carpet. Avocado green and orange. I mean, that was the thing for a while. And then all of a sudden, it's like, who in the world would do that? And now you start walking through and go, my goodness, this is a new house. It looks like I'm back in the 70s. Where does that come from? Do the masses get up in the morning and all of a sudden decide what it is they want? You see, there's more to it than that. There are groups, there are organizations, there are select people that work to move and influence what people think is an accepted norm and what it is you should like or you shouldn't like. And you'll come to the place where you truly like something and you won't like it, whereas some years ago you were on exactly the opposite page. That's how it works. We've probably all been guilty of that, haven't we? Might not want to admit it, but it's more serious than straight hair and curly hair and big glasses and skinny glasses. Because there is a move out there where we are being influenced to believe what you want to believe as long as you leave lots of room and lots of allowance for everybody else to believe what they want to believe. In fact, it's going even further than that. Yes. We are almost felt that we need to agree with different morals and standards. Things that have long been established as definitive right and wrong.
That's true.
Now there's this move that and this influence that is at work where we need to accept and almost agree with. Now, you don't have to necessarily live it, but don't condemn it in somebody else as being wrong. See?
That's right.
That's an influence and that is at work and it is alive in the world today. However immoral the influence is, it continues to pervade our society, and it seems like that in the end, what you end up, you're end up supposed to believe something as long as you don't have any hard and strong felt beliefs on something to where it condemns someone else. Are you confused yet? It starts to get a little confusing, doesn't it?
Yes.
What am I supposed to believe in? What is right and wrong? I mean, we can start talking in circles and you go away and think, I don't know what's right and wrong anymore. Who does set the standard? The worldly standards are empty, they're shallow, they move, they will crumble, they will not hold us to the end.
Amen.
But the word of the Lord, I can tell you that the truth, it's not a shell, it's not empty, it's not void of strength. It has power, and it will keep us all the way to the end. I find the approach and influence of the world, it's self-serving, and really, folks, it's kind of hypocritical. And I want you to see it that way. I want you to recognize for what it is. It really is hypocritical to tell people, believe whatever you want to believe.
Yes, it is.
And then go behind your back and spend billions to try to influence you to believe something that you wouldn't have otherwise believed.
Yes.
And then make it look like it's from you. That is not going to stand the test of time. And it is creeping in, I worry, it creeps in to the religious community.
Yes.
Now I'll say it this way. I wonder this morning, if Jesus Himself were to come and preach at the churches in the areas, and preach nothing more than truths out of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, that sounds pretty innocent, doesn't it? Jesus preaching on the Sermon on the Mount? I mean, who could find fault with that? He began to preach today, in today's society. Jesus Himself began to preach about adultery? Began to preach about self-denial? If any man will come after me, he must take up his cross daily? Deny himself? Today, in today's world, talk about turning your cheek when somebody does you wrong, instead of being so quick to go out and sue and have your sense of justice righted? Or how about this one? You can't serve God and mammon.
Yes.
What if Jesus were to come teach us that this morning and say, folks, you can't serve me and serve yourself. It isn't going to work to serve me and live to whatever it is that you want to live to. Those are just basic Sermon on the Mount fundamental principles of Christian living. And yet, if you were to preach that today, some of those things that we just mentioned, there would be some in the religious community that would say, that is traditional thinking. That's a little short-sighted. Yeah, it was. That's short-sighted. People today believe that they've risen to a higher level of intellectual superiority.
That's right.
When it comes to thinking about morals and Christianity. And they would like us to think that we're behind times and that our thinking hasn't been broadened as it should. What did it say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I know there's a lot to this verse, but I believe that this is a piece. There's a piece of this verse. There are spirits at work to subvert us, to get us to turn away from truth and righteousness, and at the same time cause us to think that that's what truth and righteousness is.
Yes, that's true.
And so this is my message this morning. I want to encourage us today, stand for the truth.
Amen.
Be willing to stand for this way. The Lord doesn't change, and He hasn't changed.
That's right.
Be willing to stand for holiness and righteousness. When we become exposed and familiar with all of these other ways that are coming in around us in the world, don't allow yourself to become tolerant and accepting and participants of it because the masses are moving that way. Be strong today. Stand for the truth. Be willing to be in the minority.
Amen.
There are people depending on you for this.
Yes, sir.
It's our turn to be faithful in this area. The Scripture says that where iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. We don't have to wax cold. Iniquity abounds, but our love of the truth doesn't have to wax cold. He went on to say that he that endureth to the end, that same person will be saved. That's who's going to be saved, folks. Be encouraged to stay this way. Don't be moved by numbers.
Amen.
Don't be moved by the changing whims, spiritual whims of the time. Paul said, hold fast that which is good. Hold fast to it today. Be encouraged not to let down on holiness standards. Be encouraged to look into the gospel truth and hold on to it, even though the rest of the world may look at it and say, that's not really what it's saying. If that's what it says, that's what it means. That's what it's saying. God wouldn't have said it this way if He meant something different. He said it so that it could apply to us all down through the ages and carry us through. Be encouraged to stand strong. He went even further and said, abstain from the very appearance of evil. You know, that would answer a lot of our questions.
Yes.
On whether we should do something or we shouldn't.
Right.
Sometimes we say, well, it's just my life. It just affects me. But this says, abstain from the very appearance of evil.
Yes.
God wants us to live in a way so that when people look at our lives, there's no question to them about the road that we're going down.
Amen.
We shouldn't have to spend days and days digging in to try to find where somebody is. I know we can't just judge people by their appearances, but God said, be a light to the world. Be a light that's set on a hill. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. The first thing that people notice about us is what they see. We want them to see godly behavior.
Amen.
We want them to see a light that reflects Christ. And He wants us to go the extra mile, not to misrepresent Him. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. What kind of example are we leaving? You know, we talked about Lot the other day. And we talked about Lot going out into the plains, pitching his tent toward Sodom, and it wasn't a very good thing. But did you know that Lot did escape? He escaped. He escaped with his life. But he lost a lot.
Yes, he did.
There was a lot of collateral damage that happened. Lost his wife. Lost friends. Lost his possessions.
Yes, he did.
This way is more than just about you.
Amen.
It's about others that are following your example.
Yes.
It's about others that are coming along behind. Let's be challenged and encouraged today to be able to stand strong. Like the three Hebrew children, and say, we're not going to bow to that. We're not careful to answer in this thing. We know that people, here's another one that comes up, well, we don't think about it that way anymore. Have you ever heard that? You start to say, well, you know, this is the way the Scriptures say, and if you do this, that's contradictory. Well, we don't see it that way anymore. We don't think about it that way. And people don't think about it that way anymore. That's the reason why the world is in the shape that it's in. Because they don't think about truth like it ought to be thought about. Be committed to being like the three Hebrew children that stand up and say, we're not careful to answer you in this thing. We're not going to be moved.
Amen.
We're not going to bow to the truth that, or the seeming truth of the masses that gets put out. The changing of the times, we're not going to do that. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't be defiled by the meat from the king's table, didn't he?
Amen. Yes, he did.
Purpose in your heart this morning.
Yes.
Go away from this meeting settled in your heart. It doesn't mean that you're always going to feel like it. God never said that He's going to give you feelings 100% of the time that causes you to feel like doing the right thing all the time. Or if there's somebody here that feels that way, please catch me outside of the tent after service because I want to know what the secret is. Because I know there's times that you don't always feel like doing the right thing. But there's a difference between feeling and commitment.
Yes, sir.
God wants us to be committed. We can be committed to things and there are times our feelings, our emotions, they go up and down. But God wants us to have something so solid in our heart that we purpose in our heart. Lord, You can count on me. I'm committed to this way.
Yes.
Peter on the day of Pentecost was willing to stand up and look out over a crowd of people that had just earlier crucified the Lord. And he was willing to stand for the truth.
Amen.
In fact, he went as far as to say, you with your wicked hands, remember that?
Yes.
You with your own wicked hands. You know, took the life of Jesus Christ. He was willing to stand and be true regardless of what it meant for him in his life. You know what the result was? Thousands were saved that day.
Yes, sir.
You may not be able to save thousands, but you may be able to save somebody from standing for the truth.
Yes.
And being true. Be numbered with the heroes of faith. It said that Moses chose rather, didn't he? That means there was a choice. There was an option there. He chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for what? A season. Well, this season that we're in is quickly passing away, isn't it? And there's a season coming that isn't going to pass away. It's going to be a season for eternity, isn't it? And God is looking for people today to stand firm, to stand true, to stand up and be counted. I've related this before. Do you ever remember being in school, in class? I have one memory of maybe when I was right. In the ninth grade, the teacher said, "All right, who in the class thinks that the answer is A?" You look around and there was hardly anybody that raised their hand. I thought the answer, I think, was maybe B. Who thinks the answer is B? And I was ready to raise my hand because I was just sure that was the answer. And I was getting ready to raise my hand and I looked around and everyone else is just kind of hunkered down doing the same thing. Well, who thinks it's C? Pretty soon all the hands are up, including mine. And I didn't believe the answer. But I was going with the masses. I'm going to be numbered with everyone else. And the teacher says, "Well, the answer was B." And I was wishing so bad that I had raised my hand and stood alone. Now, I think it's B. And then have the teacher say, "Well, the answer was B." And I'd have sat there and said, "That's what I thought. I was right. I thought the answer was B. I stood alone." But I didn't stand alone. I gave in. I gave in to peer pressure. I gave in to what was going on around me. Listen, there's going to be the time when we stand before the Lord and we're going to be so glad that we stood up and said, "No, I'm going this way. I'm believing in this way." Even though so many around are saying, "Well, that's not what that means. Well, it's not necessary to live holy and righteous." I mean, that's the Lord's not really interested in that. He's interested in maybe bigger things. And you can have what you want. You don't necessarily need to deny. We only have one life to live. Get out there and live and try to see how many people you can get to the Lord. And weave the Lord into unrighteousness. And then it gets confusing. And then when the masses go that way, we find ourselves going that way, even when we don't really think that it's right. But then we're caught up in the flow of it. Be willing to stand alone. Be willing to stand true. God will take notice. He is. When I think of Job sometimes, when the Lord was looking all around, all the people doing all the things they were doing. Oh, but he saw Job down there. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? I want to live so that the Lord, with all of my faults, with all of my shortcomings, because I have plenty of them, my family can testify to it. But I want to live so that the Lord can say, that's one of my dependable servants.
Yeah,
amen. He's one of mine. And yes, when he fails, he gets back up every time. He's got some band-aids on his knees. He's pretty skinned up sometimes. But the guy always seems to be moving forward towards me. It doesn't seem like he gets caught down for very long. And he's willing to be picked up." You know, Peter gets picked on a lot. There's a lot of copy with St. Peter. Because he did a lot of good things and he did a lot of things we look at and say don't do. He was the one that sunk in the water. He was also the only one that stepped out of the boat. All the rest of them were still in the boat watching to see what was going to happen. And don't you know that that was not lost on the Lord?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't lost on... Yeah, he sank, but he was the only one that was out there to sink. And he raised his hand up and said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord was there to pick him up. sometimes we start to sink. But at least I want to step my leg over the boat and show the Lord, I'm willing to do this. Maybe next time I'll learn and not sink. But I want you to be able to count on me, Lord, that when I see you, I'm going to come to where you are. Even if everybody else is behind me on the boat. I want to be true. I want to stand firm. I want to stand strong. This is our time to stand strong. I want to say this. This world has been around for thousands of years. And yet, we are now just showing up on the earth. This earth has been going on with people for years and years and years, doing things, going about their business, teaching for thousands of years, and you haven't been here. But for some reason, you're here today. For some reason, given all the thousands of years that have passed, today we're here and we're alive and we're breathing. And we have choices to make. And there have been people that have gone before us when we were never here that were faithful and stood strong. In the midst of when the masses were persecuting them, when they were trying to cause them to go a different way, there were those that went before you that stood strong and passed the truth down and laid a firm foundation for their children that were following. But now we're here. You know what that means? It's our turn now. It's your turn. The baton has been passed to us. It's now our turn to stand up and be counted among the few sometimes. It's your turn now to set a good example. Young parents that have young children, or parents that have young children, it is so vitally important that you set a firm foundation in your home for your children to follow.
Yes, it is.
They're watching. They're absorbing. Don't let things into your house that you shouldn't let in. Be careful what you talk about. Be careful about how you present yourselves. Be careful about where you go. Go out of your way to teach your children daily. Teach them. Read the Bible stories to them. Read the scriptures and expound to them. Because if you don't teach them this, the world's going to be out there teaching them something.
Yes, it will.
They're going to get a full dose of all kinds of things being filled and pushed into them when they walk out your front door. So you be consistent and strong. Make time. Set apart time every day to sit down with your family. Read the scriptures. Read the stories. Answer questions. We ought to be able to answer the tough questions. It should be more than that's just the way we've done it. Well, that's just the way we've been taught. It doesn't mean that your children are always going to agree with your answer. But you should have an answer. And it should be based on Scripture. Yeah. God wants us to have convictions that are based on what the Scriptures say. Right. And we should be able to point to the activities in our life and connect it to what the Scriptures say and give that as an answer to your children so that as they grow up and they see the way you live, they can go, yeah, he's doing that or she's doing that because the Scriptures say this. Yeah. And then let the Lord open it up to their eyes. They may not see it your way immediately. The Scripture says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and it won't depart from them. Even if they don't come back to it, it'll never leave them. They can't ever get away from it. The Lord can use it to convict them, to challenge them, to draw them. Be faithful. Be strong. I want to do that for the Lord. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain in the Lord. So be steadfast.
Yes.
You be one of the ones that's unmovable. Don't be viewed. Live your life so that other people don't have to look at you and say, well, I don't know if he's coming or going today. I'm just not sure where he is. Purpose in your heart to be unmovable. Be steadfast because it will not be in vain.
Amen.
I want to leave you with this thought, these thoughts this morning. Be willing to go through the roof to access Jesus.
Yep.
That's true.
Be willing to do whatever it takes to see Jesus. Live your life so that you are contenting the Lord, not the masses. Be willing to content Jesus. Live your life with a no-regret approach to your spiritual life. Live your life so that tomorrow you can enjoy the consequences of decisions that you made today. You'll be blessed by that.
Amen.
Now's the accepted time.
Amen.
Don't delay and defer action in these areas. Now's the accepted time. Flee to the city of refuge if you need to. God put it there for a reason. If you fail, don't be discouraged in your failure and just stay there. Get up, flee to the city of refuge, get the help you need, and move on. And help yourself and help others. Acknowledge your need. Confess your need. Run to win this race.
Yes.
Don't just run. Don't just show up. Don't just do time. Run to win.
Yes.
Because you can win. Commit your life to the Lord without reservation. Make a firm decision today. No reservations coming from here. I'm for the Lord. Count me in. That's what God wants from us. Live to be accounted worthy. Live your life to be accounted worthy from the Lord. It's a high calling. It's a good calling. It's a wonderful place to be. Live to be accounted worthy. And finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's got the strength for you. We heard last night, there may be the masses that come against us, but there's a host of army up there with power that will help us live this way if you're willing to live this way. This morning, to all of you dear folks, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Amen.